Hey everybody, I'm Dave Sandell.
And I'm Caleb Gardner.
And this is the Best Album 4 podcast, a podcast where we talk about the best albums for being alive in the year 2023.
Wow, Dave. Wow.
We are doing our top 10 list today, actually tonight. Caleb and I are getting together late in the evening on a Friday night because we have
Dave,
nothing
better
to do.
Don't tell them that this is how we spend our Friday nights. I feel like that is a huge disappointment.
What's funny is that for me, this is goals. Like when I was in my 30s, I was like, I want to like get together with friends and talk about music on Friday nights.
Yeah. Is this the like digital equivalent of that, I guess, is like we are doing it across the world on podcasts?
I mean, the reality is if I wasn't with you, I would just be making this list on a like spreadsheet right. On my own tonight anyway.
If you weren't, you would be making this list, having an internal dialogue with yourself about
that's
this
right.
Exact topic. Yes, that sounds right.
Which would be way less fun. We're going to go through our top 10 albums. So I'm going to get into it pretty quickly because I think we could talk about these for 2 hours and I want to not talk for 2 hours for the sake of our beloved audience.
So we're going from 10 and then we're counting down, right?
That's right. We're going to go from 10 to 1 because we are gentlemen and that is how gentlemen do it.
I'm so stressed out by this. I'm so stressed out already.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. What was your process for creating your list?
I mean, my process was going, oh shit, there's a lot of music I haven't listened to that I meant to listen to this year. Now I've got to go back and listen to it because I'm trying to figure out what the best music of this year is. We were chatting about this right before we got on, but there were at least a dozen albums that were on people's like lists of great music this year that I didn't even get to. And I feel like this year, because we've been doing this podcast, I've listened to more. I've had my like ear to the ground of more new music than I usually do, which I actually really love. But oh man, by the time the cumulative effect of that, when you get to the end of the year and you're like, oh right, that album. Oh shit, that album. Like I kind of like go back. I've got to both go back and listen to music that I hadn't listened to in a while to make sure that that was something right. that I wanted on my end of year list. And then also try to like catch up on the things I'd been meaning to listen to all year. So for the last, 3 weeks, listening to music has been a very stressful experience for me.
As it should be at this time of the year.
I know you are a list builder like habitually. Right. So have you have you had your top 10 going all year and it's just been rotating and shuffling in and out like every week?
So I have a long list and a short list. So I always have my top 10 kind of updated based on whatever it was that week. And then if something moves off my top 10, I toss it onto like a long list underneath, kind of unranked. And so I just have a huge list of, by the end of the year, like 100 albums that I gave some time to and kind of enjoyed. And then as we get closer, I start whittling it down a little bit. So I make a playlist of every album I'm considering for my top 10, including some that I didn't get to that I meant to, things like that. And then eventually I whittle down to a top 10, and then I agonize over the order, which, you know, if we recorded this tomorrow, this order might be completely different. I'm pretty ambivalent. I feel like 10 to 4 for me are essentially interchangeable, maybe even like 10 to 2, like could be in any order. And I would feel like, that sounds about right. So this is a snapshot of today.
Yep. It does really feel like a moment in time because same for you. I think I texted you like 7 out of 10 of mine like a couple hours ago and I was like I still haven't settled in the last 3. Like this is a stressful process we go through for you listeners. That's what I'm saying. It's all for you.
Just to let everybody in on what we're doing behind the scenes, I know Caleb's 10 albums. I have no idea what the order is. We wanted to let ourselves be surprised by each other's order, but we also want to know if we had any overlap and kind of plan for that. So I know he's got some stuff. I'm very surprised something isn't on your list. Like I actually thought the album I thought was going to be your number one is not on your list. And that is surprising to me.
I think I know which one you're talking about and we will get there. And we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Sounds good. Why don't you kick us off with your number 10 album of 2023?
Yes. So starting the countdown for the best albums from Caleb's perspective of 2023, at least at this moment, is the album Yard by the indie rock band Slow Pulp. I want to contextualize this album as part of a larger movement toward 90s sounds. We had a lot of bands this year that are just trying to perfect that 90s sound. I mean, the 90s are very in right now. I get it. But like musically were very into the 90s, and also fashion and Gen Z is all about the 90s. It's real weird because like you and I grew up in the 90s. It's like
right.
somebody trying to reclaim our childhood and then like put a stake in our childhood home, and it feels very strange, right?
It does, yes. But they don't have to deal with any of the nonsense like dialing up into internet at
right?
2 kilobytes a second.
That's right. Yeah. It's like you want to claim our decade, but you didn't have to go through any of the pain. Anyway, the reason I said that is because I actually had a really hard time with a few albums that I kind of consider in this like 90s revival genre.
Yep.
Including my beloved Indigo D'Souza, who I think is who you were referring to.
Yep, that's
who
the one.
Kept shuffling on and off this list as I was trying to narrow it down. But I think I ultimately landed on, like, while I really liked All of This Will End, her album that came out this year, of the three albums that she's come out with, it's probably my least favorite. It's hard because it has one of my favorite songs of the year, but the whole album wasn't my favorite.
Okay, so that makes sense.
I think the Yard is a little bit more consistent. It's a little bit more something that I'll put on and just kind of like let play the whole thing. I really liked this album. It's good.
I didn't spend a whole lot of time with this album. How would you describe their sound?
Besides for just 90s aficionados? That's a good question. How would I describe their sound? I mean, definitely honest, a little bit raw. Almost like, I know that you and I both enjoyed the album Rat Saw God by Wednesday. I would almost kind of put it like that, but like lighter. So if you liked something that's kind of like Rat Saw God, but maybe wanted it to be a little bit more on the poppy side, that's kind of how I would describe this album.
Okay, interesting. Oh, maybe I'll revisit it then. That's high praise, as we will find out later on the list. Yeah, okay.
I mean, one reviewer I was reading up about it before this called this album Weepy Americana, which is a really great description, but also a raw to the bone piano ballad and belt along worthy pop punk, which is how they describe the sound of the album.
Cool. I'm into it. My number 10 is Slow Dive's Everything Is Alive. This is their follow-up album from their surprise 2017 reunion, their self-titled album. Slow Dive, for those of you who don't know, is kind of this shoegaze, dreamy, blissed out group from the 90s, from the early 90s, that kind of went away, like disbanded for decades, and then came together for a festival, kind of a one-time reunion show, and were so shocked by the number of people who showed up for the show that it kind of energized them, like reinvigorated them to make music together again. And the music they've been making, I love those old Slow Dive records, but the music they've been making since they reunited is so far beyond it, for me at least. I've been low-key obsessed with that self-titled record for several years now, and just continue to play it kind of on repeat. And this record continues right where they left off. It's this easy kind of nighttime music to have on in the background or on a drive. They do play a bit with their formula here. Kisses has that kind of War on Drugs vibe, and The Slab is kind of this pulsating slow build song that you can kind of just play into infinity and be happy that you're still listening to it. But you know, for the most part, Slow Dive is who they are. They are dreamy, blissed out shoegaze, and I love them for it. The only reason I didn't have this kind of higher on my list is because it almost feels obligatory to put it on my list. I listen to them as kind of almost like comfort music, almost like kind of a nightlight. Just something to kind of keep the house warm. I don't know how to describe it better than that. So I don't know that I've really taken this album in. When I got my Apple year-end thing, they said that this was the album I listened to most out of anything new this year. And I just don't know how that could be true, other than I've just had it on in the background a lot. But I haven't really sat down and listened to it. You know what I mean? So this album might deserve to be much higher. But as it is, it's going to be at number 10. And I just love this band so much.
Do you feel like Slow Dive is one of those bands where they come out with something, it's probably going to end up on your list? Like you said, kind of obligatory?
Yeah, I think at this point, of bands that are working, like actively putting out music more than like once a decade, although that used to be them, they're like in my top five. Like they're a top five band for me, kind of making music now. So
yeah,
I think that'll probably be true, especially because I just like their formula. So it's almost like, I talk about this with Radiohead sometimes, when Radiohead puts out a new record, I don't really listen to it to find out if I like it. I listen to it to find out what they did this time and kind of discover what I'm going to be listening to for the next several years. I've kind of gone past the point where I'm evaluating it on, is this good or bad? It's just them and anything they make. I just really want to soak up. And that's true for Slow Dive for me too.
Yeah, that makes sense. I will say that this album was on my honorable mentions for this year too. And I've got kind of a mixed relationship with shoegaze kind of as a genre.
Yeah.
Like I've kind of revisited it and I have a hit or miss. Like some songs I'll just really love and kind of put on repeat. And I really love the kind of like stuff that Beach House does, which is almost more dream pop, but it's kind of a sister genre to shoegaze. But I think it's the fact that the vocals tend to fade so much that I kind of like it kind of doesn't keep my attention.
Yeah, I don't know that I know any lyrics to that 2017 album.
That's what I'm saying. So to your point, it ends up being really great background music.
Yeah.
But I don't tend to put background music in my top list. You know, it tends to be like, oh, I've got a party or I've got like, I'm on a Saturday morning. I'm not really paying attention to anything. Then I'll put on something that feels like that. But if it's going to be something that I really love, I don't know. I've got to have at least some lyricism to be able to follow along.
But I think for me, having an album like that fills a void that otherwise is, you know, they are the masters of that to
yeah,
my ears.
For sure.
And so because of the album or the band, I just want to have on in the background all the time. That is like high praise. Like I listen to those records over and over and over again. So
you think that like they've mastered the use case for what you're using them for, maybe.
That's right. And I mean, I feel like I'm underselling them a little bit here. I just haven't spent as much time with this record. That's all.
Yeah.
Like I will eventually, and I will find lots of specific things to love about it.
I also feel like I downplayed how good this album is because there's a reason why it's on my honorable mentions. I actually really sure. liked it. So take that for what it's worth.
There you go. What's your number nine?
Number nine, I chose Water Made Us by Jamila Woods. Practice. And this is another one where it's like, oh God, how can I choose this when there's so much else in this genre that I felt like came out this year? But I've just got a soft spot for Jamila Woods. Like one, she's a Chicago-based artist, so obviously like Chicago over everything. But I also just felt like this was the most accessible out of the
interesting.
R&B albums that came out this year. And I will say that at least I did not count SZA's album in terms of 2023. I know some top 2023 lists just cheated and put her album on this because it came out last December. I did not do that. But I think out of some of the R&B that I listened to this year, this one is the most accessible and relatable. Like I think the lyrics are very accessible. I think it's probably a little poppier than some of the other R&B, but I just really liked it.
I like Jamila Woods. I often feel like she plays a type of kind of indie folk music or like R&B folk music that isn't always my genre. And I find her a little bit like she deserves real time. Like she doesn't deserve kind of a background listen. So I always mean to give her real time. And then suddenly it's been 6 months and I haven't listened to it. So you having it on your list to go back.
There's got to be a ton of bands that are like that though. Yeah, like that's sure. That's why I still had a dozen on my list of like things I hadn't listened to. Where it was that for that same reason, I was like, oh, if I'm going to listen to this, I got to actually listen.
My number nine is one of the other 90s throwbacks that are in full supply right now. It's Bully's Lucky For You. It took me a long time to warm up to this album. Like I kind of played it throughout the year, trying to find my way in because people that I admire, including you, really really highly recommended it. And it is a type of music that I love. Like it has kind of this Liz Phair Breeders genre that I love. I really, really love it. And so, but for some reason, it just took me a while to warm up. But the more I went back to it, the more I found a love. This is this kind of old school, big riff, play it loud, sing it from your diaphragm type 100%. Of record. There are a couple songs here that give me chills, like Change Your Mind. When I listen to Change Your Mind and you get to those choruses, like, whew, it's a trip. She's great. I would love to see her live. I can see myself coming back to this one a ton in the coming years.
Yeah, it's a great album. In fact, her collab with Soccer Mommy, Lose You, might be on my top, if we were ranking top 10 songs of the year, might be on my top 10 songs. It's just such a good song. The like the way that that chorus digs in on that like almost dissonant melody that you're not expecting. I love it.
I'm into it, man. Thank you for recommending it. I don't know that I would have spent as much time with it without your recommendation. So this is a great record.
I'm paying you back for the, let me check my notes, thousands of times you've done that for me with the albums.
Hey, man. Number eight.
My pick for number eight is The Answer Is Always Yes by the Australian singer-songwriter Alex Leahy. I want a good time, not a long time. Let's get the hell out. Come on. This is, it's funny because I think back to our Swiftie episode and how I said I don't really do relationship-based albums that much. And at least the last two that I have talked about are very much focused on relationships. Yeah. But Alex Leahy's in particular is one of the best breakup albums that I have heard in recent times. In fact, if you want an entry point to this album and you're pissed off at someone, I would start with You'll Never Get Your Money Back, which is a great breakup anthem. But I just think this is really fun. It's lighthearted. It comes in with this banger, Good Time, which is, I would not expect this like semi-dorky looking, no offense, Alex, Australian singer-songwriter to come in with this like party anthem of the year, but it's so much fun. There's definitely some tonal shifts, like You'll Never Get Your Money Back is this like kind of rocking banger, whereas Good Time is literally what it sounds like. It's like you're playing it on the background of a party. So like she explores a surprising amount of emotional and kind of tonal depth in this album, but still very accessible and highly recommended. I think everyone could find something to love about this album.
Yeah, I had literally never heard this album before today.
And, really?
I like put it on and I was like, oh, this is great.
I told you about it before, right? Like months ago, probably. Listen, I think this came out like over the summer.
You know the year I've had.
Yeah, that's right.
It is what it is. Yeah, apparently I missed your recommendation because, wow, this is good. This is I was like jealous this is on your list. It's such good pop music. That's super cool. All right, so where are we? My number eight.
Your number eight.
There have been a bunch of kind of hardcore and punk records this year that I've liked. 100 Jack, Samus Paint, Liquid Mike, Move BHC. But the one that stood out to me above the rest was this album by Military Gun called Life Under the Gun. Waste my time, waste my life. As I sit and wait for you. It is full steam ahead from the opening track. I really dig the lead singer, Ian Shelton's voice. He's just really going for it. I found this super late in the year and I haven't spent nearly enough time with it, but every time I throw it on, it's just so cathartic and anthemic. It's maybe like a little bit like Japandroids mixed with like Pennywise, No Use for a Name. It's such a cool record and I can't wait to listen to it more and more and more. It's one of those that I could see like kind of being my big regret from this year that I should have put in my top five. It's such a fun record.
I mean, I hadn't even heard of this album, so definitely not in my top either, but you're describing all the things I like, so I'm excited to spend some time with it this month, too.
I mean, you can't go wrong just by kicking it off with track number one, Do It Faster. He does these, like, ooh, sounds that are so, like, I guess get into the mosh pit right now.
Yeah. There's so many good punk albums that actually I was sad that I couldn't make it onto the list that I wanted to add this year, including a great album by Restraining Order, obviously Bully, which has some punk overtones, Spiritual Cramp, which had a great album that I thought would end up making it, but great year for some cool punk stuff.
Well, I'm just going to skip ahead to an honorable mention. My favorite punk song this year was off of Corinne Bailey Rae's album. Do you know Corinne Bailey Rae?
Yeah.
She's like the kind of R&B soulful artist.
Yes.
She had a song called New York Transit Queen. Go listen to New York Transit Queen afterwards. It's so cool. And I wish she would just do a whole hardcore album now because she's got the goods.
This is so funny because I feel like we're using our top 10 list of the year to like discover new music.
Yeah, I know. So isn't that funny?
We keep going, oh, that album. Yeah, okay. All right. We're just like adding things to our list.
I got another one coming up that I know I have not recommended to you that I think you're going to like. So
okay.
Let's move on to number seven.
All right. Number seven for me is an album by the artist No Name called Sundial. Yo.
When I was monumental, I was tatted up and bad as fuck and dreaming of scenarios with serotonin laughed at us. Psilocybin with the hybrid, baby couldn't pass it up.
And this, I honestly, like, I kept debating in myself, am I not putting this higher because of some of the controversy around it? And I feel like we could talk about that with some of your albums too, because I know you got some controversy. But oh my God, this album is like a work of art. Like I don't even know how to describe it other than like of all the ones on here, maybe this is the one where I would be like, sit down and listen to this from start to finish and don't do anything else. Because the first time I listened to this, I was on a like long hike.
Oh, interesting.
I just like happened to put it on. And so I was doing basically nothing else except walking and listening to this. And I think it was a perfect environment to really take it in because it's political, it's artistic, it's beautiful at times. It's hard to listen to at times because of how just she sticks the knife in the side of the man and capitalism and politics, but also kind of you. I mean, like, right?
Absolutely.
It's an amazing album. And again, Chicago artist, got to give a shout out, but like,
sure.
Also like kind of a controversial figure in how she like kind of calls out literally everyone around her at all times. Yeah. Her last album was amazing. So I was expecting big things out of this one and I was not disappointed.
This is on my long list for sure. I had a hard time not including this one. It's great. I don't have anything else to add. It's just a great, great record. So many jazz flourishes and the instrumentation is so cool and the production. But it's really her and her lyrics that are the feature here.
100%. Yep. Agree.
Yeah. My number seven is an album called Summer Moon by a band called There Will Be Fireworks. Who is one of those bands that puts out an album like every 10 years, apparently. They are from Glasgow. At points, this wasn't on my list, and at points, this was as high as number four. This is maybe as close as I found it to like scratching that Frightened Rabbit itch. Maybe combined with like something like Boxer Rebellion. Like it's this big plaintive rock music with songs that will work their way under your skin the more you listen to them. Their sound is kind of right there in the title. It gives like idyllic nights in July with sparklers and Good Friends if you shot it like an episode of Friday Night Lights. There's songs like Love Comes Around and classic movies that when I play them, they feel like the soundtracks to summers that I wish that I'd had maybe, or summers that I kind of remember in a haze. It's just a whole vibe. I dare say this isn't melancholic and it's closer to just joyful, though of course it probably is super melancholic and I'm just so into sad boy music that I'm like nose blind to it now. But There Will Be Fireworks is a tremendous record. I debated having this much, much higher. I can't recommend it highly enough. If there were still shows like The OC or Chuck, this would soundtrack every episode. It's just one of those like just really easy to listen to. I assume everybody's going to love it.
Damn it, Dave. This is another one where I'm like, why have I not spent more time with this? Now you're like, this drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, check it out. We at number six?
All right, number six. All right, number six for me is an album by Youth Lagoon called Heaven is a Junkyard. Hope it filled the sky at nighttime.
Diamond in the ring, don't feed your... This is hard to leave off my list.
I listened to this album a lot this year. There's a lot of depth here. I almost think it's like... I was thinking about this, and I want to know if you would agree with me that this is like the spiritual successor to Portishead. You know,
and interesting.
It's got like some of those kind of lo-fi hip hop beats almost behind some of the sounds, but it's also like people think that it's supposed to be kind of just like background music listening to the background. You know what I mean? But like then you actually hear what he's saying and you're like, oh, do you know what I mean?
You're making a very good case for that right now. I never thought about that before, but I hear what you're saying.
Somewhat electronic, again, like kind of hip hop. It's like I don't even know how to put my hand on exactly what this sound is, other than like melodic, beautiful, kind of haunting on some of the songs, but also like very hopeful on others. I really like the intro Rabbit, which is just a really fun, like almost kind of sing-along song, like at the beginning, but The one that I probably kept coming back to is Prize Fighter, which has this great electronic pop vibe. But yeah, definitely go out and listen to this. Put it on. Be haunted by it like I have been all year.
Yeah, your note about this being easy to have on in the background is useful because this is one of those records that when I first listened to it, I don't know that I grasped how deep and how profound it was. It just sounded like really lovely music. But the more that I dug in, and this is kind of back to what I was talking about with Slow Dive earlier, like the more that I actually dug in and found the specifics of it, every song is gorgeous and thoughtful, and there is
right?
just a lot of creativity here. I've never really spent any time with his older records. I'd like to go back and
Me neither. I mean, definitely some tracks here and there, but not a lot of time. But just surprised by, I think part of the reason why this catches you off guard is that his voice is so fragile sounding. It's yeah. like, I honestly don't even know how he makes this like his voice sound like this. Because it just sounds like, I don't know, he's got strep throat or something.
Yeah, absolutely. My number six is Boy Genius. And I wonder if you have this coming up.
Oh my God.
We should wait a minute.
My number five is Boy Genius.
Well, so let's just talk about
perfect.
It.
Perfect. This is perfect.
You've got a little more elevated than me. So why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, just slightly elevated. I feel like this was Boy Genius's year. I mean,
Absolutely.
Let's just stipulate
they
that.
They are the band of the year.
They were everywhere.
Yeah.
On Saturday Night Live, on talk shows, on like, you could not, maybe with the exception of like Taylor Swift and Beyonce, I just could not hear about any other artist all the time. Mm-hmm. And that honestly was a little bit of a hindrance for me because I know you and I both kind of resist if like something feels like we're supposed to like it, but you can't not love them. Like, I don't understand how anyone listens to this and goes, yeah. this isn't cool. This isn't good. This isn't beautiful. This isn't something I like, because I feel like Boy Genius is appealing to everyone. Like, everyone yeah. can find an entry point here. Always an angel, never die. Always an angel, never die. We talked about this mid-year, so we don't need to talk too much about this because we already had it on our list then.
Right.
But I guess I'd love to hear from you is like, since then, what has changed? Mm-hmm. Has another song popped? Has something else kind of come to the surface?
I think that the things that I've noticed, one is I follow them on Instagram, or I follow Phoebe on Instagram, and their joy together, like whenever they're just howling around, is very infectious. Like,
yes.
I'm eager for more solo work from all three of these amazing artists, but if this was their new path moving forward, I think I'd be fine with that. They just bring such cool things out in each other, and I'm curious how their year together is actually going to shape their future work moving forward. I'm especially 100%. Interested in that for Phoebe Bridgers, because I came into this, I love Julian Baker, but I came to this kind of writing for Phoebe, right? Like, Phoebe is one of my, you know, other than maybe the album I'm going to have at number one, like maybe my favorite record that's been put out in the last 5 years. Like, I love Punisher so much, but I came in kind of like looking forward to hearing Phoebe, but it's actually Julian's melodies and Lucy's lyrics that I responded the most to. And so I've become huge fans of all three of them. I think they're all doing something unique, but when they get together, there's like this alchemy that is super cool. I don't necessarily, in fact, the reason it's at number six for me is because I don't necessarily have anything new that I think I've discovered as I've continued to listen to it throughout the year. Like, I think this album is very, it's not top heavy is the wrong word here, but I think that it's on the surface a little bit. Like, I don't know that I have found tons of stuff to do with it as I kind of listen to it over and over and over again. But I do listen to it over and over again because these are just such hummable songs. They're so easy to get in your head.
Yeah.
They're anthemic and beautiful. And it's so fun watching the three of them together.
It is.
I feel like even you can kind of hear that on the record. And this is just a really special moment.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that just anytime you've watched them live, watched them perform together, they're both like, they have such chemistry together, but also just seem to really enjoy each other's artistry and enjoy each other's company in a way that I would say the only parallel that I can think of, which is kind of hilarious, is Watch the Throne.
Oh, yeah.
When Jay-Z and Kanye just seemed to have such good, like, such a good time together.
Yeah.
Which feels like a whole other era for lots of reasons. But what, so did you pay much attention to what they were coming out with after this? Because they actually, put out even more music this year.
Yeah, I did. I liked it. The Voyager is a cool song. There's some good stuff on The Rest. The Rest is the name of their EP they put out. None of it is quite as high as the stuff on the record.
Yeah.
But it's still, I mean, I have a playlist going of Phoebe's music. And so I just kind of have The Rest after the record now. And, nice. And it flows together nicely. Yeah.
Nice. Did you, the Parting Glass, the single they put out, what, like 2 weeks ago? Like very recently.
Yeah.
Might have been my favorite non the record song. Like it is just, it's this beautiful kind of choral, almost like holiday-esque in terms of its kind of like choral-esque song, and I really liked it anyway. But yeah, I think for similar reasons to you that like I haven't found any new depth but still love the old depth is why it's just at 5 for me.
Yeah, I wonder if this album came out like a month ago if it would be like my number 2 of the year or something.
Very good point,
but that's just not what happened, so we take the year as it comes. This is a snapshot in time.
Yeah, very very good point.
Yeah, my number 5 is the album I actually had at number 1 mid-year. It's Yasmine Lacey's Voice Notes. I love it with a demon on my shoulder, and she's walking on my leader. Before we went to shoot, she told me she's. This is a record that I've spent a ton of time with this year. She is a singer-songwriter, a jazz performer essentially, but she's pulling from lots of different genres. She kind of sounds like this cool, smoky jazz bar meets like Erykah Badu era hip-hop. Kind of infused with R&B, and it's just very tangible. Like these songs drip with cool. The production of the drums and the bass are so perfect.
Yeah.
This is a perfect little album. It was my number 1 mid-year, and I can't really account for why it dropped. I think only because I just haven't listened to it as much as I thought it would in the second half of the year. Again, it's one of those, this is why we did the mid-year, right? Like if this came out last week, maybe I'd have it way, way higher, but it's another one of those records that it's just hard to believe anyone wouldn't at least enjoy. It's great.
I really liked it. I mean, I think the only reason I didn't end up spending as much time with it is that I didn't feel like I had a place for it. Like I'm not, it's not really work with music for me. It's not really hang around like with my kids' music for me. It's like, so I've got to like really give it a time and attention unless I'm going to go sit, like to your point, I'm like go smoke a cigar, or hang out in a jazz bar, it'd be perfect.
Right, right.
But I did really, really like it. I think it's like very unique in terms of like the sounds that she combines.
I can't wait to hear what else she does next. And I hope she tours in America at some point because I would love to see her.
Oh, she'd be great live. I would love to see her live.
Yeah. All right. We're at number 4. Is that right?
Yeah. Number 4.
You're 5. So hit us with number 4.
Yeah. Number 4 is an album that was on my mid-year as well. It is the album Praise the Lord Who Choose But Which Does Not Consume by Yves Tumor.
This is my number 4 as well.
Ah, yes. Brilliant minds. I'd love to hear why it ended up at 4 for you, since we did talk about it a little mid-year, but this album had staying power for me this year. I was trying to think about this before we got on, about this album's hold over me this year. But like, for some reason, this album created mental space for me, even when I wasn't listening to it all year. It was just like, I knew this was going to be on my top albums of the year, because when I spent time with it, like when it first came out, I was just like, I love this. And I think part of the reason was that I was able to see Yves Tumor live right after it came out, and it really kind of solidified their artistry and the sound of this album for me. So I think that's why it's had so much staying power.
If this was a best of the year list for me instead of like a favorites list, I think this would be my number 1. Like, I think this is the most accomplished record that I heard this year, and the most innovative and fun. The highest compliment I can give it is that it sounds like Prince in all the best ways.
Yes.
Though maybe a little more distant or removed.
Yeah, maybe if Prince was like more electronic. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit less emotional, but these are just big joy bombs, a funky fuzzed out guitar and organic drums that really make me want to move. Like, it's hard to listen to this record and not want to move around. And that unique voice of theirs, it's an absolute pinnacle of everything they've been trying to do over this last decade. I've had a couple other Yves Tumor records within my top 5 in years past. And I think that the trajectory that they're on, this is the best, and nothing else sounds like it. And I can't believe that it's only number four. What an amazing year for music that it's only number four. When I first heard it, I thought this is going to be my number one. And I can only say that it's only because these next three records are so meaningful to me. But man, highest recommendations for Eve Tumor.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, I will say that, like, of all the ones on here, I think of all the ones I just chose, the two probably that are least accessible for kind of the average listener
yeah,
are probably this one and Sundial.
You think so? I feel like this is so easy to listen to. It's so fun.
I mean, but it starts out, you gotta remember that this album starts out with it sounding like a woman having a panic attack. Like, I don't even know. And you're like, like from the first few sounds, you're like, what is this? I mean, there are definitely songs that are like bangers and you're like, oh, this is like a dance vibe. But I think they almost intentionally started it off with like, oh, I'm going to be like, I'm going to shock you with a sound you're not expecting.
I like that. Why don't you hit us with number three?
So number three for me is an album that kind of came out of nowhere just a few weeks ago to end up on my list. And this is the album Quaranta by Danny Brown.
Nigga, you 40 still doing this shit. When you gonna stop, but God gonna make you quit. Came from hardships, which changed perceptions.
And Danny Brown is not necessarily a go-to artist for me. Some of his work has been great. Like, don't get me wrong, some of his guest spots have been amazing. I've liked some of his singles, but like never found him to be someone I reach for. But this album got great reviews when it first came out, and I listened to it and found it to have kind of an uncharacteristic depth. And I think, and then I was reading about kind of the background of it, and actually it's, the title of it is 40 in Italian, so it's actually about his age.
Okay, that makes sense. That lyrically, that sounds right.
Right? Yeah, because it is a little bit more somber for him, and maybe that's why I relate to it. But he is very introspective on this, talking about his own, you know, kind of personal failings, kind of the never-ending carousel of sex and drugs, as I saw one reviewer put it. But it also, like, I really resonated with the music behind this, because it's got hip hop beats, of course, but it's also got this kind of electronic, kind of unexpected melodies. I just really digged it. I'm still spending time with this one.
I almost had this in my top 10 and just pulled it out. I kind of felt obliged to have it because it's also my favorite hip hop record of the year. There are a couple others that I've enjoyed, the Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel record. Maps, that's a great one. But like you said a few weeks ago, this one showcases everything that I love about Danny Brown. I like his kind of wild, high-pitched voice that he uses. And yeah. I also like his tenor one. But if I had to choose which one to hear more of, it would be like the more low-key version.
Yeah, and this album has that in spades.
Yeah, this, I would say it's kind of 60-40 low-key. And if you want his wild one, he made an album earlier this year with JPEG Mafia that's just super fun and crazy. The beats on this are super gritty and smoky and kind of a lot of little jazzy bass lines. It's a real pleasure to listen to. I like that he's being reflective. Yeah, great record. Okay, it's time to talk about Royce and Murphy.
Is it that time? We finally got there.
Number three for me is Royce and Murphy's Hit Parade.
Did I ever disappoint you? Did I disappoint you?
Did I get and I feel wrong? Like this did I get could wrong? Have been number two, or it could have been off my list. It's just a weird year for Royce. I don't really know how to talk about this record, so I'm just going to kind of soapbox for a couple minutes. Kind of despite massive promotions prior to its release and kind of glowing pre-release features that hyped this up as kind of album of the year importance, it's essentially been erased from every end of the year list. I don't think I've seen it on anything. And I get it. I kind of have this fantasy of where we could talk about this record without any complication, without any compromise, and just celebrate Royzen's long career and DJ Cozy's creative, whimsical, alien-like production and flourishes. And I want to sit here and just tell you that nearly every song on this has something to be found under the surface, and that at worst, it's a supremely fun record, full of interesting ideas. But because of these private comments on Facebook that became public, it's basically just impossible to have that conversation. I saw a review earlier this year that said basically all the joy from this record, it's a supremely joyful record, all the joy from this record was preemptively sucked out of the atmosphere before anybody had even heard it. I don't really want to unpack her comments or debate her intent or meeting. I kind of remain convinced that the target of Raya was big pharma companies profiting off the backs of people who are vulnerable. And gosh, like, who wouldn't agree that that's an issue. Like, who would agree that's a thing? And so sometimes I felt like the reaction felt outsized, but regardless, what she said hurt a ton of people, and many of whom made up her devoted fan base. And instead of revising her statement or explaining or apologizing or acknowledging she blew her, just showing some damn compassion and owning what she said, she took this like predictable, unfortunate step of saying she's not going to engage with the conversation one way or another and was going to focus on the music, which is like, what the hell?
You can't really get away with that kind of thing.
It's a bummer because I love this record so much. And I have the benefit of coming at it for Cozy's production, right? Like, that's the reason I was hyped about this record, because Cozy creates every single piece of music on this record is his. She would write lyrics over his beats. She would send her vocal performances to him, and then he would chop it up and send her back something that was completely different than what she'd originally sang over. And they spent like a year going back and forth on this record and creating something. And there's all these little moments like this, like kind of alien landing bassline on Hurts So Bad and the absolute joy burst of Fader, which is still my favorite song from this year. But I can't even say that I've enjoyed enough to make it number three, because it always feels complicated to listen to. Yeah. There's people that I love who are trans, and I hope that I'm not like doing something hurtful by even putting this on my list or amplifying it. But I guess I'm just a sucker for DJ Cozy. Like, listen to how the song you knew, how it bobs and weaves for 7 minutes and like never rests and always moves into some new thing without losing like kind of the heartbeat of the song, or listen to like the dance euphoria of Can't Replicate. I have just come back to this record over and over again. I've enjoyed it a great deal. And I just pray to God that Stephen Gonzalez's announced 2024 album will be without complication, because I'm so bummed that we can't just have full-throated enjoyment of this record.
Yeah. That controversy was just so unfortunately timed.
Yeah.
I think it was all about the timing happening right before. So even if she had come out and full-throated apologized and kind of fall on her sword, but to your point, she didn't. Like, I think the timing would have really, again, put an asterisk on this album, no matter what, which is really unfortunate.
I hope at some point she revisits it and we can have a kind of a, what's the word? Like critics revisit it and you know, the public can revisit it and appreciate it for what it is, but maybe they can't. Maybe she's just blown it with too many people and it's just too hard to listen to, and I get it. So it's my number three record of the year. So I'm recommending it, because it is true that of the records I've listened to this year, this one is one of my favorites. And I hope that 5 years from now, I can just listen to it and enjoy it. So right now it kind of sucks that it's so complicated.
It does. Oh man. All right. Should we go to number two?
Let's do it. Let's go to number two.
My number two is kind of a surprise for me. It's the album by Sampha, Lahai. Ways will catch you, life will catch you,
love will catch you, spirit can catch you, faith will catch you. Wow, number two. Cool.
Number two. And I came to this album late this year. So it came out a while ago. Kind of had been on my list to listen to, but I really started listening to this maybe 2 months ago. Like, for real. And then I found myself listening to it again, and then listening to it again, and then listening to it again, and I just kept putting it on. Mm. And I think it's got this like surreal electronic, like, but also kind of hopeful and almost spiritual. I mean, it's literally got a song called Spirit 2.0. So I think that that's the vibe he's going for. And I both found it. I think this is true of albums that end up being on repeat for me, that it's great to put on in the background and it's great to sit and listen to. If you know anything about Sampha, his album process was obviously like huge. People loved it, but it was also recorded in the wake of losing both his parents to cancer. Mm-hmm. And so a little bit rough, right? This is like the where he's really come out of that and made it super light. Like, he's asking hard questions, and he's still got that kind of like, again, spiritual overtones to it. But it just feels a little bit more airy. It feels a little bit more hopeful. Again, just like exploring life. I don't even know how else to put it other than that. But it's just, I really enjoyed it.
It's a beautiful record. Cool. I've been listening to it a lot. I was glad you put it on your list, because it gave me a reason to go back to it. So I've been listening to it a lot this week, and every song, Sampha in the past has made things that I've also felt like these are extraordinarily beautiful songs. And I think for some reason when I first heard this, it just hit me as more of the same. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's true. I think that this is a step forward and a really good record. Super high recommendations. This is good.
It's interesting that you say that because I think it is more of the same. I just find it more of the same in a good way. And I think that, like, thematically, I mean, he apparently had a daughter born between his last album and this one. I mean, can you imagine like making the last album in the wake of the death of your parents and then making this album in the wake of like your daughter being born?
Interesting.
They feel like that. And I think that really comes across. And I love watching an artist kind of like express, not just in the lyricism or their kind of their melodies, but like the art itself really being in that emotional place with them.
Ah, good stuff. All right, my number two is my surprise of the year. It's Jamie Branch's Fly or Die, Fly or Die, Fly or Die, World War. This is a full-throated jazz record, though kind of in a free jazz style of Ornette Coleman with a hand in stylists from across the globe and kind of a big wide-eyed, like one of Charles Mingus's big suites albums, if you've ever heard any of those, like Black Saint and the Sinner Lady. Bottom line, this one just packs a punch. Like when the keys kick in on Borealis Dancing, it is off to the races. And every time I listen to it, I find something new to dig into. There was not a more propulsive, exciting, singular release than this in 2023. And that this is a posthumous release from such a young woman is so tragic. Listen to her belting out lyrics on Take Over the World. And tell me this isn't actually the best album for taking over the world. Like the way she like slows down and speeds up on Burning Gray, the kind of Helter Skelter heist movie that I have playing in my head when I hear Blink Bass. This is urgent, essential music. I'm going to keep coming back for years and years to come. And I think I have to reconsider. I think in an earlier episode of Best Album 4, I said something along the lines of, I can't find my way into modern jazz music. Like I love listening to old stuff, but it's rare that I hear something that's new and I love it. Whew, this one got me. Like, I kind of listened to it on and off because lots of our outlets were recommending it. And every time I was like, this is so cool. And then later on in the year, I thought, like, this is a masterpiece. Like, I want to hear more albums like this. So I'm like re-embracing an entire genre of music that I had not necessarily sworn off, but certainly had found less compelling in the past several years. And now I'm like, what have I missed? Like, there must be all sorts of cool stuff out there that I don't even know. And that an album can kind of explode my worldview a little bit is the reason I have it as high as number two, because it is just such a cool record. Did you spend any time with this?
I did, after you told me about it. Yeah, I found myself really loving to work to this album. I mean, we talked about, like, I picked jazz as like a great genre to work for, especially kind of the fast Birth of the Cool style, Miles Davis kind of stuff. And I was feeling similar vibes on this, just in terms of, like you said, the pace and kind of like, some of these are bangers. Yeah. Super fun. I mean, I think that I need, for wanting to spend time with something I just mentioned, I need some lyricism. So like things that don't have a ton of vocals don't tend to land really high on my end of year list, because I just don't find myself emotionally resonating with it quite as much.
Yeah.
But agree that this is a really fun album for a genre that I don't go to that often.
There's a funny routine that Fred Armisen does about jazz music where he says he thinks one of the problems with jazz music, you never get any of the songs stuck in your head. You never find hours later humming the songs that you heard at on a jazz album. That was not true here. I've been humming these songs like for the second half of this year. I've been constantly humming them. My sons are so sick of hearing me play this album. Every time they get in the car, this album is playing, they're like, oh, come on. And it's just so cool. I can't wait to listen to it more and more. All right, we are here. We're at number one.
Here we are. Big reveal.
Let's do it.
Number one album of the year for me is Javelin by Sufjan Stevens. And this is actually a pretty big surprise for me. This is Sufjan is one of the artists that I used to listen to a lot and just haven't really followed that much in, I think, 10 years.
Wow, that long.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to Carrie and Lowell, right?
Yes, that's right.
And like some of the stuff that's gotten critically acclaimed and found it beautiful and haunting and also not something that I want to put on all the time because it's super kind of dark, understandably. And I again, just folk I like, but I don't really go back to. Mm-hmm. So like he kind of plays in a lot of spaces that I'm like, I enjoy visiting, but don't really want to set up camp there. But this album had this amazing combination of all the things I like about the artist of Sufjan. So like all the things that he's done over the years mixed just kind of amazingly well together somehow. And the storytelling here and the heartbreak around the breakup with his partner. And then the kind of real life story that gives it this like emotional resonance. Once you like hear about what this album, like what was going on in his life when he was making this music. Oh, this album got me.
Yeah, the stories behind this album, once they started coming out, certainly elevated the way you interact with it. Like, it's worth knowing the story going in because this is such a gorgeous record and such a beautiful, heartbreaking record.
I mean, So You Are Tired, if you heard that when it came out, that was kind of the lead single. Mm-hmm. And from that song on, I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just, that song was moving. Right? Yeah, like you sit there and you listen to what he's actually saying. Oh, God.
Yeah. The narrative that I kind of came at this record with that I somehow got in my head was that it was a heartbreak record in the vein of like almost like a breakup record. But to find out that it's a heartbreak record because his partner died is, it's so heavy. But you know, I heard somebody say once about Vincent Van Gogh that he took like pain and torment and sorrow that he experienced and turned it into joy. Like he made all of these beautiful, colorful, vibrant works out of his torment and out of his hurt. And when I was listening to this record, which isn't on my top 10 because I don't even know why, but when I was listening to this record, I had that same sense of he is creating something so, it's not joyful, of course, but it's so profound and moving and beautiful out of this deep place of sadness and grief. You know, it's not Carrie and Lowell Part 2. Like, it's Carrie and Lowell is a very sad record that actually helped me when I was grieving my dad last year. Like, that was a record that I went to a lot. This isn't a sad record necessarily. Like, he kind of melds a lot of the things he's been doing experimentally for several years into some of these songs. And it gives it this, like, kind of vibrant, alive element. It doesn't sound like Illinois. It doesn't sound like Illinois. It doesn't sound like any of his older records. It doesn't sound like Seven Swans. It's just something new and beautiful by Sufjan.
I don't know how you managed to make a like sort of breakup, sort of heartbreak album and still manage to weave in those kinds of like more experimental, more fun, more elevated and almost light at times sounds in a way that actually works, but it does. And I think that there's times where I'm watching or listening to, in this case, I guess, a work of art. I was thinking about TV shows because this is the only other time I've really made this analogy is like, you know, you're watching season 2 of The Bear. You watch season 2 of The Bear? I've made this analogy for season 2 of The Bear recently.
I'm obsessed with The Bear.
I mean, one of the best like seasons of television I've ever seen. Yeah. I would say the same thing about Fleabag season 2. I would say the same thing about, you know, like there's just when you're watching something and you simultaneously know how good it is and how like just what a wonderful work of art it is.
Yeah.
You know, you experience that sometimes with music too, where you're like, this artist is really letting me into something that like you're simultaneously kind of in awe about what they're letting us into and like in awe that they could create something so beautiful, but, and so like vulnerable. I mean, I just good job, Sufjan. It feels weird for all the heartbreak that he went through to make this, but like, it's just, it's an amazing record.
Yeah.
It's an amazing record.
Absolutely. Oh man. Great, great pick. Good. Number one. My number one.
Before you reveal, I am surprised that my number one didn't even end up on your list.
I know.
That is surprising.
My number one's not on your list either. My number one is Rat Saw God by Wednesday. So I thought I was going to be way out on a ledge for this record today because it felt kind of under the radar all year. But then it's landed like super high on almost every album of the year list that I've seen so far. Some of them had it at number one. I was like, oh, apparently I didn't understand the hype around Wednesday, as I've just been listening to them over and over and over and over and over again throughout the year. If you told me this time last year that my number one album would heavily feature slide guitar, I would have laughed you out of the room. But I have just slowly fallen completely out of our heels in love with this one. You know, I keep a running list of all of my previous top five lists from every year. And 2020 was the last time I had a record I felt this strongly about. And maybe even 2018 is maybe the last time I felt like a record came out that immediately I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to this for the rest of my life. And I need more and more. There's just so many layers to unpack here. The quote unquote country gaze of it all, combining big kind of hardcore walls of guitars with kind of the best version of alt country that you might find in like Angel Olsen, maybe Sturgill Simpson, others like them. The singer, songwriter, guitarist Carly Hartzman's broken raw voice that absolutely shreds on songs like Bull Believer. Bull Believer, by the way, featuring the best Mortal Kombat inspired outro you're ever going to hear when she screams, finish him, over and over and over till her lungs must just be completely spent. Sometimes when I listen to music in 2023 and in the past couple of years, music feels so auto-tuned that voices sometimes stop feeling like real people. Like,
yeah,
they can be great. 100%. They can be amazing vocalists, but there's just never any, like, there's never mistakes. There's never any rawness. You know, it just feels like everybody's got perfect voices. And Carly is the antithesis of that. She is just so raw and incredible. The lyrics, which feature like slices of her life, super specific little embarrassing nuggets that feel so relatable and universal, even though I've never experienced them. Wednesday is a band from Asheville. They've got five records behind them that I'd never even heard of them before this year.
Surprised by that too.
Her boyfriend, Jake Lenderman, better known as MJ Lenderman on guitar, who also has a couple classic albums of his own. I don't know how I didn't know about this band, but it's just raw and visceral and beautiful and loud and heartfelt. When I heard this kind of mid-year, I thought it was good. And then I kept returning to it and just loving it more. And by mid-year, I kind of snuck it into my top five, essentially on a suspicion that it was going to stick with me. And it's just growing in esteem every week since. I don't have a lot of albums in my canon from the last 5 years, maybe like three or four or five records in my like Dave Sindel canon, but this is officially canon for me. And I suspect I'm going to be listening to it and finding new turns of phrase and new blistery moments to glom onto for like years to come. And they played at Metro something like a week after I discovered them. And I worry that I missed my chance to see them in like an intimate environment because I am just nuts for them. Like, I just haven't felt this passionate about a record, about a band in a really long time. And I realized like I've memorized all these lyrics, which never happens. I have just had this on constantly. It is so fun to listen to as loud as you can with the windows down while you're driving along the road. I just can't get enough, man.
It is fascinating to me because the Venn diagram of our music taste
is it
overlaps quite a bit.
Absolutely.
And
too much.
I have just never been able to get on the Wednesday train. I mean, that's
so sad to me.
I know. They're your number one album. You told me to go back and listen to this after you fell in love with it, and I did, and I definitely found more space to like it. Don't get me wrong. Especially Turkey Vultures, you're right, is a fun banger. Like, it's just, it's hard not to love. I think what it is for me is that I have a really hard time getting over the alt country hump. Like, I don't, Angel Olsen's turn into alt country made me like her less. Like, it's just, I just don't think I've got really an alt country loving. I think what it is that I hate country so much. It's like anyone kind of like flirting with country makes me like them less, not more. I think that's what it comes down to.
Listen, same. Like, I also feel that way. Like, I can't necessarily count for why this has got, like, there are at least seven songs on this record that are amazing anthemic songs that I would full-throated endorse to everybody. Hot Run Grass Mill, Bull Believer, Got Shocked, Formula One, Chosen to Deliver, there's more. Bath County, Quarry, Turkey Vultures. There's just so much amazing music here. And 90% of it has a slide guitar. And every time it kicks in, I'm like, why do I like this so much? Because I generally am kind of turned off by it, but my goodness, I like it. And I wonder, you know, if there's something about, like, you know, obviously you and I both grew up with a lot of country music, and this band does not feel like a country band at all. They are a rock band through and through.
Yeah.
And a pretty hardcore one. Like, I think that their loudness, like the peak of their volume, gets to like that thing that I loved about like early 2000s music that I think we've lost a little bit. Like they are just so huge. Well,
and, that's what I was going to ask is like, is this scratching a kind of like late 90s, early 2000s itch that you had? Because I do feel like I would put them in that genre I was telling you about earlier, where of the bands that are kind of reliving those 90s vibes, right?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I guess they have to exist there, but I don't necessarily know that I can point to an analog for them from the 90s. Like, I think that they're doing something kind of new.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Carly said that she has been working for years to kind of get this sound that she's had in her head to actually come out of her, in her music. And it's taken her so long to find it, like, figure out how to get it out there. And she finally did on this record. And oh, I can't wait for more. Like, I've heard that her past, I need to spend a lot of time with their back catalog. I've heard there are other records they have that have vibes that are worth exploring. But whatever they're doing here, I hope they have a very long career. I hope she is, you know, goes down as one of the most important singer-songwriter kind of rock artists of our lifetime. Like, I have so many, like, superlatives and hyperbole. My goodness, I love this band. I like go on YouTube and watch them live like several times a week. Like, it's really got me. And it's funny because I kind of intimated maybe like 7 episodes ago that this was starting to inch up in my year end rankings. Mm-hmm. And I still in that moment was like, is this my number one album? Like, is it? Because it's an alt country album. But I don't know, man. Something has clicked with this record. And I know that I'm like, I live in hyperbole all the time, but Wednesday's Rat Saw God is not only my number one record, but my favorite record in many years, and one that I can't wait to keep listening to forever.
Wow. Who would have thought that at the end of the year list, we both have a top album that the other one didn't even have in their top 10?
That's surprising. That's very surprising. I think like for me, I love the Sufjan record. I don't know. It's a tough record. I don't know I had that space for it, like you said. Like, it didn't naturally fit into my life.
Yeah, that's
quite
fair.
The way
that's
fair. I wanted to. But you don't like this record very much.
Well, I want to, though. That's the thing. It's like, I know I trust your taste. I know everyone else loves it. I've tried to find entry points to it. And what is true historically about music that I love is the ones where I have to kind of earn it. Usually end up being the ones that I love the most, maybe save like Midnight Organ Fight, which we've talked about, which I loved like right away. Like, there's definitely some albums where I was like, I don't know if I like this. Like, famously, like the first time I heard, this is funny to think about now because they're so popular, but the first time I heard Boxer by The National, I was like, what is this? This is the strangest thing I've ever heard. Or like TV on the Radio, which I really ended up loving. I was like, what? This guy's voice is so weird. What does this mean? Like, there's just, there is famously a lot of music where it took me a while to get there. And then once I got there, I was stuck. I couldn't go anywhere else. And maybe this will end up being that for me.
I hope it is, because I sure would love to play it with you more and you know, actually get together in person. And
for sure.
Yeah. All right, man. That was our top 10. It was so fun to actually do this out loud into a microphone. It's going to be published.
So stressful.
The stress is over. I have freedom to just enjoy music for a few weeks before it starts all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Everything that comes out at the end of December is just, it's like a free token. It's just like,
that's right.
Nothing counts. This is all freebies.
If you had ranked SZA, would she have made your top 10?
Oh, good question. Maybe. I mean, I think I probably would have put her album above Jamila, so I bet she would have. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I mean, album is just so good.
Let's do some honorable mentions. I have a bunch of songs I want to recommend, and maybe like a dozen albums too. I've attempted to cull this down from about 30 that I wanted to share, so I'm going to do my best. If you need more recommendations, feel free to find me. Maybe we'll put together a big playlist or something that. We can kind of showcase.
Do you have your top albums published? That like a ranking list? You should just make that a published.
I will now. It's funny. Nobody listens. I mean, people listen to this podcast. We have a nice audience. I appreciate everybody who's checking this out. It's not like we have thousands of listeners. Nobody's obsessed with us in the way. Although I did see that we were 4 people's
speak for yourself, Dave.
Number one podcast. Most listened to podcast this year.
Four of our favorite people.
Yeah. Whoever you are. thank you. but I still feel secretive. Like, it feels like a secret document, my like ongoing top 10 production list. So now that it's out there, maybe I'll publish the playlist for people to listen to. The hardest album for me to leave off this year was a one called Ghosts by Hanya Rainey. This is a piano classical crossover album. There's some beats underneath it. It has like real Kid A vibes. I really love all of the songs. But I often found myself like turning it off after a while and then picking it up again from the same spot. I think because all the songs kind of had the same vibe. But I listened to it a ton this year, and Hanya Rainey, high recommendations. Obviously, Olivia Rodrigo's Guts was so fun.
Nice.
I Can't Believe It Didn't Find My Way In. SZA's record, I had it in honorable mentions. I would have ranked it. It just didn't fit in my top 10. This electronic record called A Grisaille Wedding. I don't even know if I'm saying that word right. By Rainey Miller in Space Africa. That is all vibes, all like dusky, rainy London vibes. Kind of like Burial, but super cool. One of the best hip-hop albums I've heard this year, actually, or rap albums. Nabaha Iqbal's Dreamer. She's a little poppy songwriter who, kind of indie pop songwriter, who also has a lot of beats under her stuff. This little band called Sea Blight made an album called Lemon Lights that I listen to a lot. It's a little rock record. Yuli Soft Scars. I actually had a Yuli record in my top 10 last year and just didn't have space for it. This band called Mindsign, it's spelled MNDSGN. They have a record called Snacks with three X's at the end, and it's funky and fun. Jesse Lanza's Love Hallucination was one of my favorite dance records. And then finally, this funk soul compilation called If There's Hell Below was super cool, and I listened to it a lot. What were some of yours?
Oh man, so many to add. Was that just the albums? You haven't even done the singles
yet? I got a few songs. Yeah,
Okay. So we're gonna do that. We're gonna play that a little bit. I think I had a hard time not talking about so many. The Water From Your Eyes record, everyone's crushed, but that and the kind of spin-off, Thanks For Coming. I loved both those albums. James Blake put out an album that I loved this year. I'm surprised that didn't make it into my top 10. I think in any other year, James Blake probably would have made it. Oh God, there's so many good. We already talked about Spiritual Cramp. Aesop Rock put out Integrated Tech Solutions, which is just a fun, lighthearted rap album, indie rap album. There was some great R&B, Kaliukas, is that how you say your last name?
I think so. Yeah.
I think he is.
That's how I've been saying it all year.
Yeah. We talked about a bunch of them, but Kaliukas we haven't talked about was good. What is it? I'm like, there's so many. I was like, which ones do I actually want to give a shout out to?
Right. We could go on for 3 more hours.
I know. Last one I will give a shout out to that I think that I probably thought would have made it on my end of year list is the new Christine and the Queens album, Paranoia, Angels, True Love.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Would go give that a listen.
Was there a Crosses album that came out this year? Did you spend
time? There was, and I didn't spend enough time with it. That was one of the ones where I was like, I don't know if this is, I would put this on it or not. Yeah. I wouldn't say that Crosses is necessarily something that like,
sure,
I would usually be on my top 10, but like, I just love Chino so much that I'm going to spend some time with it.
Absolutely. Some of those songs that I wanted to shout out, Debbie Friday's So Hard to Tell. I really tried to love that record, and it's landed on a lot of your end lists. I've been jealous because the rest of the album does not sound like So Hard to Tell. It's much more industrial and heavy, and it's good music. I just wanted the whole thing to sound like So Hard to Tell. This album, there's a song called Water by Tyler, Yola Tengo's Sinatra Drive Breakdown, Sun June's Eager. I actually thought I was going to have Sun June's whole album on my top 10, but it just kind of fell off as the more I listened to it. But that opening track, Eager, actually like made me think, I think that track made me think it was going to land in my top 10. And then I realized the rest of the album wasn't quite as strong, but cool song. I talked about Corey and Bailey Ray, The Smiles, Bending Hectic, of course. And then my beloved DJ Cozy put out 3 songs this year, Wespinist, Candidasa, and Blista. And they're all bangers. They're all cool. And I can't wait. That's certainly the one I'm most looking forward to in 2024 is his full length return.
Nice.
Any songs that you want to shout out?
Oh, you know I do, Dave. I'll give a song. Actually, The National put out 2 albums this year, which we didn't talk about. It didn't make our list. But actually, I thought both were pretty good. Like, National's one of those bands where I'd kind of fallen off of following them. But both their albums I thought were pretty good. I actually really like the song Tropic Morning News, which led the first 2 pages of Frankenstein in terms of lead singles. So I give that a call out. Younger and Dumber, I this is probably one of my favorite songs of the year by Indigo D'Souza on All of This Will End. Just a beautiful, beautiful song. I already gave a shout out to Lose You by Soccer Mommy and Bully. Again, just really, really appreciated that song. I'm like making, as we're talking about this, like a playlist of kind of end of year songs in my head.
Nice.
It'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Oh God, we haven't even talked about very much hip hop, but I had so many like hip hop singles. Like I love the song Swish by Vic Mensa featuring Chance the Rapper and G-Eazy this year. That was on my like run list. Listened to that a lot when I was running. Okay, two more. One more, one more hip hop song. We didn't talk about it. Kendrick did a partnership with Baby Keem on a song, The Hillbillies. Yeah, yeah. That was super cool earlier in the year, and then did nothing else. So that was a bummer.
He deserves some time off.
Yeah, seriously. Last two songs I'll give a shout out to. The song LFO by Helado Negro, I thought was really cool and is going to lead his new album, I think, that comes out next year. So very much anticipating that. And then I actually really liked the collab between Zach Bryan and Bon Iver for a song called Boys of Faith, which is, I'm now realizing, is ironic because it does have like somewhat country overtones. And I just told you I don't like anything with country overtones. So apparently that is selectively applied.
It's fine. It's fine. Wednesday is not listening to our podcast. They aren't taking the, though they should. They should. Because they had a nice little, they would have had a little dopamine hit from my spending 3 minutes or more than that, probably 10 minutes going crazy. Man, Dave, what a great year for music.
There's so much more music I want to talk about too. This has been so hard to like narrow it down and not like talk about so much else.
It's hard for me to know, is it because we did the podcast that there was more music that I love this year than in the last several years, or was it just a really, really good year for music? But there's another, I mean, my long list is long. There's a lot of good stuff that came out this year.
Mine too. Yeah, I think for me at least that's true. Like doing this with you made me like keep my ear to the ground a little bit more about what was coming out. / we were talking about music every week, and so you were telling me about new music to go listen to every week. Sure. So definitely a little bit of both for me.
Yeah. Well, that is going to do it for our year-end wrap-up. I really want to thank everybody who's checked out the podcast this year, shared it, who's given us great feedback. I've had a lot of fun. It's been really fun hanging out with you every single week and getting to talk about something that we love. It's been a lifelong dream to like have a place to actually do this. And so the people listen to it. It's pretty cool. And I hope we get to do a bunch more of these next year. We've got some fun guests lined up and some fun ideas for future episodes.
Yeah. Good times. This has been super fun.
Yeah. Thanks for kind of making me do this. I feel like I'm the driving force some weeks, but the reality is that you were the one who was like, hey, we should do this. Let's do this.
So, yeah. I think it's true of my life that I just like start things and then sometimes they go well and sometimes they don't.
All right, man. Have a great holiday and I'll see you in the new year.
Good time.